order. I had spoke to the sheriff always in recess. I received a phone call this morning about Round Mountain Road, the bridge, which has been a long time problem with
people on
the bridge. Of them that use that area for swimming and having a good time that do not respect others. And this gentleman was complaining, and I told him we'd visit about it. If this is a good time, we can do that. I'd ask the sheriff if he's willing.
All right.
I don't know that there's, I told the gentleman, I said, I don't know what we can do to help, but we'll talk about it and see if there's some kind of an idea that might come up that we could work on it.
We also have one other situation for administrative, I believe. Mr. Shuvley is here from the newspaper.
Okay.
And we had a situation on, I believe it was Friday, that the bids were due in by 3:30.
Uh-huh.
And there were some unusual events right at 3:30 that has created a potential problem that I'm not real pleased about, but he wants to address you concerning that.
Okay. Let's go ahead and get, excuse me, Mike, if you would, just a minute. We'll see if the sheriff's got any input, and we'll come right to you. So,
I had not received any calls yet this year on the bridge down there. However, it's on our extra patrol list. That's a problem we go through every year. Like we was discussing a while ago, it's just a few that cause a problem.
Yep.
Personally, I think we need to deal with the few that cause a problem and not punish everybody because of those few that are jerks.
Jimmy, what about one thought I had, and everybody's busy, and I know you guys certainly are. If we, and could Road and Bridge, and I'm just throwing things out on the table, could we, if we focused on those that are causing trouble on the weekends and went and confronted them time after time after time, where you kind of wore them out, quite frankly, of, well, that's going to be a pain for us to go there. Let's go find someplace else to go.
Yeah.
You got any suggestions how we might work that? Or?
We try to go through there 3-4 times a day whenever we can, whenever, you know, calls allow us to. Like I say, it's on our extra patrol, which is puts it on a high patrol priority. You know, we try to hit it as much as we can just to do that.
Go ahead, Danny.
Signs doesn't do any good because
No. You
tear them down quicker than you can put them up. I mean, I think we did put up no standing on the bridge or something like that at one time and went up there to look, see how it looked, and it was already gone.
Yeah.
So, don't know. But it is... is a difficulty. I know that a family that lives up there said that they had some of their daughters come in from college, and they actually were scared to go, and they actually went back to town and called call their folks and told them that they wouldn't be there. So I don't know what to do about it, unless, you know, and I don't know whether, you know, somebody that's there, there's several situations, I guess, somebody that's there with that's drunk and causing problems, you could arrest, but those that are just standing there on the bridge, and they seem to be every age group, they just line up along there to watch.
And encourage these people to call us whenever this is occurring.
You
know, if we don't have a car up there, to call us.
Yeah.
Chuck, you mentioned Road and Bridge. What were you going to say?
I was just looking for any idea. This came up last year or year before, and one of our supervisors was available, so he and I jumped in the truck
right. And
ran out there. And it's most evident what the problem is, and we talked to some people. I think maybe one of your deputies beat us to the spot that they probably called you all at the same time. And but they will... folks will come to cross the bridge to get home, and they'll just stand on the bridge like it's their bridge, and we'll glare at them, and he had a beer bottle thrown at him at one point, and, well, to Danny's point, I mean, we know that's what happens.
Right.
And it's a shame because the fellow I got the call from said, those that are on one side are respectful and have a good time and don't cause a problem. And those on the other side stand on the bridge and it's not safe.
And about anywhere that we have bridges crossing the creeks like that,
yep,
we have that problem. It's not just there.
It's probably a lot of folks that aren't even, you know, don't live close. They are not very close. They come from out of the county even.
You do have a possible solution. I don't know if it's something that you want to do or not. You simply pass an ordinance making it a misdemeanor to participate in activity on the bridge, standing, using it to jump into the water or whatever, and anybody that's doing that, you give them a warning, you come back, they're still there, you arrest them. You can do that, but if you don't want to do that, that's I understand. But I mean, you do have that possible solution.
Is it primarily just a Saturday? Is that our biggest problem?
Usually weekend, yeah.
I guess if we're going to take a very tough stance on it, we could always just pay for the extra patrol to sit somebody out there. I mean, if we really wanted this thing to go away, we just have to do it about two or three weekends in a row, and word would probably get out.
Jim, it was addressed at one time, and then the people that owned the development there, they were going to make a park area up the side on the, I don't know, it'd be on the side we always go in on there before, on this side, and we thought that would eliminate the problem. He was actually going to make a park area up through there where we could say nobody on the bridge and do that. But there's quite a crowd. There'll be 100 people there or more on the weekends. And something's already been mentioned, a lot of them are people that don't live in the county. They just come in there from everywhere.
So, Sheriff, how would you feel about Bob's ordinance idea? So if you all got on scene and found somebody there, you could use that to write them a ticket. Otherwise,
is against the law currently to block traffic.
There's a statute now that you can write them a ticket for obstructing traffic.
So maybe we don't need to do another ordinance.
We may
ordinance.
Not need to do the ordinance.
We don't want to do something.
I don't think you would need an ordinance.
Okay.
You know, we go under state statute.
But they'd have to be obstructing traffic. With the ordinance, just being on the bridge, utilizing it for something other than walking across would be a violation. That's the reason I mentioned it. But they would actually have to be obstructing traffic, and if they are, in the judgment of the deputy, he could already issue them a ticket.
It's saying that, Bob, makes me think. If you had an emergency vehicle, had a fire, an ambulance that needed to get across there, I mean, they dominate the bridge. I mean, it'd be, even with an ambulance, maybe they'd, no, I bet there's a bunch of them hearing the ambulance coming even would stay on the bridge just not thinking about what was needed to get out of the way. And they'd have a hard time getting across the bridge. I bet it'd take them 5 or 10 minutes to clear the bridge. So, anyway, it's a bad situation. Okay.
So where do we leave it then? No difference? No change?
No, let's don't leave it.
Can't leave it. I mean, if I were in my subdivision and we were playing ball in the street, if a car came, we'd get out of the way. But if we stood there and said, nah, go around, I'd be real upset if I were in the car. I mean, you can't really leave it alone.
So really the only option sounds like since the signs have been torn down. I remember this problem last year. I remember Chuck going out there with the thing, one of the road bridge guys. The only thing it sounds like is extra patrol, and we'd have to help fund it then. I mean, you already got it. It's on the patrol list. We just need it more times.
What if we set a time? You mentioned weekends, Jim, which it is, just mostly the weekends. What if we had some, ask the sheriff to go out when
11 to 3 or something like that,
and just give them good talking to him.
So we can continue doing that You know, it's we can have them get off the bridge. I guarantee you, as soon as we leave, they'll be right back on it.
But, right.
Of course, if there's anybody that's, you know, littering or causing problems like that, they'll write them tickets and stuff. It's just a difficult situation to, you're going to have a hard time keeping people from coming there.
Is there any way to make the bridge unattractive to people being on it?
They swim right around it. That would be unattractive enough for me, swimming around that thing. It looks like it's a hazard to me.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody getting caught underneath that thing. But
good reason not to allow it.
Yeah.
It's a shame because, I mean, it's a big area, and if they could stay off of it. I know it's tempting. I mean, everybody wants.
You know, it's just like the Swan Creek Bridge down here at Shatter Rock Park, the old concrete bridge. You know, I came across it the other day, and it was full of people jumping off of it.
Yeah.
But.
I mean, I'm not saying we have liability, but we could. I mean, anybody can sue you. And if we own the road and the bridge and somebody gets hurt, I'm not saying we have liability, but, you know, certainly we could end up having to defend an action. It would be wise that people aren't on the bridge. But you can't take any action right now anyway because you're an administrative. So.
Right. Okay. Other thoughts? Maybe we'll post a meeting later on and come up with some kind of a schedule to request of you or something like that, that we don't let this get pushed off to the side.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Thanks for your time, Jimmy. All right. Mike.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good, sir.
Good. Thanks, sir.
There you go.
Read this now?
You can read it. I'll be reading it out loud.
Okay.
Just follow along with
follow
it.
Follow along.
My name is Michael Schuber. I'm the publisher of the Branson Tri-Lakes News. I appreciate the commission giving me a few moments here this morning. Just handed you each a letter that I wrote to each one of you this morning. Just take a few minutes. I'd like to read through it here.
Okay.
June 1st, 2010, addressed to each one of you commissioners. I know all of you are getting tired of this, I know I certainly am, but I must object once again to how the Taney County Delinquent Tax Sale bid submission was handled Friday, May 28th. I am asking the commission to void the tax sale bid from the Times because it was once again came in after the bid closing deadline. The commission should award the bid to the News since it was the only bid submitted prior to the deadline. The Times bid should not even be opened. As background, purchasing agent Linda Gifford specified in her bid notice that the bids for the county tax sale needed to be submitted to her and be in her possession by 3:30 p.m. Friday, May 28th. A copy of the bid notice is attached. The Branson Tri-Lakes News submitted its bid in person to Ms. Gifford Friday morning, May 28th. Chris Michael, a representative of the News, was again present in Ms. Gifford's office prior to 3:30 p.m. Friday. At 3:30 p.m., Ms. Gifford announced that since it was 3:30 p.m., both by the clock on her wall and her cell phone, she was declaring the bid submission time closed and announced that there was only one bid submitted, that being the bid from the News. She announced that she was going to walk the sealed bid down the hallway to the clerk's office where the unopened bid would be stored until the predetermined bid opening time of 3:30 p.m. Tuesday, June 1st. Following this bid closing announcement, Gifford and Michaels were walking down the courthouse hallway together to the clerk's office when a man came up to them saying he was with the Times. He was using intimidating, vulgar, and profane language at Ms. Gifford, demanding that she accept the late bid from the Times. The three people proceeded to the clerk's office, where I understand that County Attorney Bob Paulson happened to be. Paulson allowed the Times bid to be accepted, subject to action today by the commission. I understand that the Times bid submission was time-stamped after the 3:30 p.m. deadline. At this point, I am not sure whether or not Paulson understood that Gifford had publicly announced the bidding procedure closed. Had he known that, he might have made a different decision. Once again, gentlemen, I'm asking you to vote to maintain integrity in the sealed bid process by disallowing any late bids and accepting the one bid the county received prior to the deadline. Basically, your purchasing agent made a decision. She announced the bidding closed. I think you should back her up. I'll be happy to take any questions if you have any.
I would just like to add, 3:15 on Friday, I went up to the commission office, and there was a representative from Mr. Shuvley's paper sitting there. There had been a note put on the door at Linda's office that she was to go upstairs to the commission office because she was – I basically told her, go make one last check at the post office to make sure there's nothing there. The Times had not come in yet. And she left that note, and I told her she needed to be back at her office by 3:30, and she – before 3:30, and she was, and I assume that the lady from the Branson paper went down there because, and I went to doing something else, and I was in the clerk's office just by happenstance. I was there for another reason, and in through the door walks Linda Gifford, and she's trying to call me on the phone. She's telling the people with her that she's trying to reach me, and I was standing at the front counter, and I said, Linda, I'm over here, and I have a missed call on my phone, and it says 3:32 p.m. I checked afterward. However, she asked me, what do I do? I was at my office. It was 3:30. We came down here, and now I have the gentleman from the Times with me. He met us in the hallway, and I simply said that if it is 3:30 or before, his bid is timely. If it's after 3:30, it is not. And there was a lady in the clerk's office that said, our official stamp says that it's 3:30 right now. And I said, well, that is the official stamp for the county commission. So if it's 3:30 or before, the bid is good. If it's after 3:30, it's not. And there was some discussion about different clocks, and that's why I said what I said. And then it was stamped in at 3:31 with a note that said that they had been there at 3:30 by that file stamp. However, after the fact, after everyone had left, Linda told me that in her office at approximately 3:32 or so by her clock, that she had closed all the bids. She didn't tell me that, and when I said if it's 3:30 or before, I'm kind of in a quandary. That's why I said when I called Danny on the phone, I can't remember if I called Jim or not. I may have just talked to Danny. He asked, matter of fact, I think he called me and asked if anything exciting had happened this afternoon, and I said not in a good way. But anyway, that's what occurred. And anyway, that's what occurred. So
now the bid notice says the 3:30 in the purchasing department office. At 3:30 in the purchasing department office, Ms. Gifford made a public announcement that there was, that's very clear on the bid notice, that bidding was closed and there was one bid submitted. So I think you should back her up.
All right. Other comments? Donna?
Bob and Linda were both in the office, and I didn't happen to hear everything that was going on, but I did recommend in the future that bids be submitted to my office because our office is staffed all of the time. There wouldn't be any need for somebody to go back and forth between office buildings. And we ordered an atomic clock so that the time will be the U.S. atomic clock time, and it also has a date and time stamp. So that will be in my office shortly for the future. Resolve this issue, but may help in the future.
All right. Thank you. Mike?
I'm sorry.
No, you're fine.
That just leads to one more point. I just want to suggest again the point I make that I don't believe the Times bid should even be opened at this point. Now, that bid opening time is 3:30 this afternoon in Ms. Neely's office. So, you know, I would recommend the commission make a decision whether to back up their employee who handled everything correctly, as far as I can tell, and honor her announcement that the bid was closed and there was one bid that's a decision that needs to be confirmed prior to 3:30 this afternoon. I'd like it to be done now, if at all possible.
They're not going to take action in administrative, but they can certainly be apprised of the situation, and they can make their decision at 3:30 before they open anything, certainly.
Oh, that I want to be sure of that. So decision be made by this board before 3:30, whether to accept the bid from the Times?
Well, my phone is showing we have a 4 o'clock departmental meeting, purchasing bid awards, last one being county tax sale.
That's correct, Mr. Pennell.
So I would say that's when we would need to discuss this.
Right. Well, the bids would be open, though, at 3:30, a half hour before that meeting comes to order.
Okay, that's not shown on our calendar. Right. On this
calendar.
Well,
I also have a situation where I can discuss with you during legal, because the legal updates and everything are here in a little bit, and we can discuss the situation much prior to 3:30.
One, just to explain, Chuck, is that I believe Linda and a clerk, maybe Donna, maybe someone from the clerk's office, is going to actually open the bids at 3:30, do a bid tabulation so that they can present to us at 4 o'clock the summary. That's what, and then 4 o'clock, Linda's going to submit to us her bid summary, documents as she normally does.
And as
that's at 4 o'clock, but the bid opening is actually at 3:30.
So... Go ahead.
And as of today, this problem after today will not exist anymore, because she's going to open the bids. Who has the bids, and name the bidders at our 9 o'clock meeting on Monday morning at specified time?
Well, no and yes. The problem is the deadline that she created, that doesn't fix anything.
Now he's talking in the future, though, right?
This is about the only way that it could totally screw up the, excuse my language, it mess up the deadline at 3:30. I mean, the only thing that I can think of that could possibly happen to mess it up is what happened.
Right.
You know, why they didn't show up prior to 3:30 is beyond me, but oh well.
And it's irrelevant. They were not there at 3:30. Ask Ms. Gifford. She's in charge of that. You know, she's the one who did the bid notice. It should be an open and shut case.
I can't think of any other way where it would cause a problem. I mean, certainly if the clock in Donna's office had said 3:31, my advice was, if it's after 3:30, they're not timely. I mean... You know, it's 3:32 on her wall and 3:30 on the clerk's timer. I mean, how often is that going to happen?
I know, but don't every cell phone have exactly the same time?
All the Verizons do, yes.
Yes, it does. You're right, Danny. Absolutely.
And,
right.
So I'm.
She was calling me at 3:32 as they walked into the office by Verizon time. I still have the call on there. However, the clerk's clerk said 3:30 by their file stamp.
Okay. The file stamp is something that you set, and it's just like setting your wristwatch. You can't set it exactly right. It's not like the Verizon cell phones that are, they're all at the same time. So, you know, if it's off by 15 seconds or 30 seconds, you can't set it exactly right, so...
And one more, there's nothing in the bid notice about it being stamped at the county clerk's office. The decision was going to be closed at 3:30 in the purchasing department office, and that was done exactly as specified.
After the fact, I heard from Linda that she brought them down to the clerk's office because of what had happened before, so that she could stamp it in or whatever and have it confirmed that it was after 3:30, so that the other bid would be precluded. And here the guy was in the hallway, so.
Okay. Anything else?
No, I once again, I don't think we can do anything until 4 o'clock. Is that correct?
Yeah, we can discuss it during my legal time.
We're going to have to discuss it because we need to decide if it's a valid bid, then she needs to open it and tabulate it. If it's not a valid bid, then she shouldn't open it at 3:30 at all and be accepted. So,
well, that discussion, okay.
We need to discuss it, but not now.
Okay. All right, what's next on our agenda? Got administrative, of course. Was Nikki going to, did she have a session with us? 10 o'clock, it says.
We can go to Bob's session. Bob, I mean, unless there's something inside.
Jim,
we've got Bob at 10:30, so we're a little early on that. Does anybody know if Nikki's got, she wants to go through the agenda anyway?
She goes through the agenda now with us, but I don't know where she's at.
The ArcGIS, what time
we
is
have,
that?
That's actually, on this, it's any time after 9 o'clock. So we can do the engineering contracts, we can do ArcGIS, we can do that right now since.
Okay.
You want to go ahead and do that?
That'd be fine. We've got Brad DeVille, is that executive or?
No, and I can just bring that up as an update during my time. Okay. I still need to.
So you want to do GIS then right now then, because Patsy's here?
Okay.
Since she's here, it's posted for any time after 9 o'clock.
Sounds like a good plan to me.
Patsy, you're
right. Patsy, come up here and tell us what's new.
I'm Patsy Alexander with the ISGIS department. When I posted to meet with you guys, I left information, so I don't know if you all had a chance to look it over. I do have additional copies if you need them. There was a legal agreement for Bob to look over.
Yeah, I looked over it over the weekend in the spare time.
Okay, I'm sorry you had to do that.
If you've got some extra, there's Nikki.
Basically, it's just our software is offering an opportunity. It's called SRE. An opportunity to put some of the mapping on their website at no cost for local communities, cities, governments, and stuff like that. And that's what I'm approaching you guys with for your approval to possibly do that if we wanted to.
So it's no charge. We're just posting.
We're just posting information.
Bob, did you remember reviewing that? Did you see any?
I looked at the ArcGIS Online Community Maps Participation Agreement. Uh-huh. Is that what we're talking about?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. And there were some, obviously I'd want to change the signature page somewhat to include the auditor and the attest and that sort of thing. There were some things I don't like about it, but that I can live with given the nature of the contract.
Okay.
For instance, it says that all laws will be, despite the conflict of laws, situation will be decided on California law. I don't even know what California law is, so I'm kidding. and that they'll be using arbitration with one of two or three different organizations in the event of a dispute between us and them. But pretty much everything else I agree with. They're limiting our liability. They're saying that we're not guaranteeing that this is fit for a particular purpose. We're not guaranteeing the accuracy of our information. So generally, I have no problem with the document. There are a few specifics which, given the nature of the document, I don't think are going to be a problem. But if this were more of a conventional agreement, I would not like that they were using California law, and arbitration would be something you could decide or not decide. And it's a 3-year agreement that we agree to participate in this for 3 years, and we can get out of it if we want at that point.
Patsy, when's the deadline for us to make a decision?
Fairly recent.
Like this week? I mean, normally we'd like to have him full review and then vote. I mean, we can always vote pending your approval, but we don't like to do it that way. So do we have some extra time?
Okay, the issue is, and I have to find out, I have to go through a series of training, which is going to be a web thing to get the...
And they're not going
to
allow us to change the California laws to participate.
So that's... No. If they let me go ahead and go through the training next week, which I do here in-house, that's the only maybe glitch. If they insist on a signature then, but I'm hoping maybe they'll just let me do the training and worry about it.
Besides the California law, is there some other small adjustments you think?
Nothing major. The signature page, obviously. I'm not real fond of the arbitration, but you know, maybe the arbitration is what you want. I've looked at it. I haven't used a fine tooth comb, but I have read it. Mostly, it's the California law. I mean, this is a standard boilerplate contract right. that they have developed over the years to protect themselves.
Could we it protects vote on it next Monday. Would you have all your stuff done by Monday?
Yeah, but I don't think they're going to allow us to make any changes in the document anyway. But what I'm saying is the major objection I have are things that they won't allow us to change that probably aren't going to be a major consideration given that, I mean, basically we're participating in a community map situation. Right. We're not, anyway, unless Bob Shantz is correct and we shouldn't do this at all.
When we have a final review and the signature page revised and all that, when will that be done?
I can have that done easily this week. I did look at it over the weekend. That was handed to me. She brought it in Wednesday. It was handed to me on Friday, and I looked at it over the weekend.
How about Friday? If we voted on it Friday morning,
okay,
would that give you enough time to do your training for next week?
Oh, it just starts next week, so let me verify. We'll just go for Friday and then...
I mean, I'm talking as one...
I'm already signed up, okay. So...
I see no problem with the whole process. I mean, do...
I don't understand if what...
We're sharing our information.
I know we are, but what do you, whenever you're talking about if there's anything that turns up, but who knows what might, but I mean, who turns up, and we've got a clause in there about California law. Are we going to have an attorney from, experienced attorney in California law to
If we ended up in a lawsuit, it would be tried probably here based on California law.
Okay, this mapping that you're talking about, does it have, Bob, does it have anything to do with our FEMA-type mapping situation or any other mapping that might be down the legal process of questions that Taney County might have?
Those specific things are limited out. Let me just, except as expressly stated herein, contributor, that's us, disclaims all other express or implied warranties regarding its content, including all implied warranties of mercantility and fitness for a particular purpose. So we're saying, you know, this might not even be sellable information. It might not be fit for the purpose you want to use it for, but too bad we're not warranting that. Contributed does not warrant that content will meet the needs or expectations of ESRI or its end users, that the operation of content will be uninterrupted or error-free, and that all nonconformities can or will be corrected. So in other words, you know, we're not guaranteeing anything, basically. Both parties expressly acknowledge and agree that content has been obtained from sources believed to be reliable. That's us and our GIS or whatever system. It's believed to be reliable, but its accuracy and completeness are not guaranteed. Content may contain some nonconformities, defects, errors, or omissions. Contributor is not inviting reliance on the content, and the end user should always verify actual content or data, including but not limited to map, spatial, raster, and tabular information. I have no idea what raster means, but...
It's photos, aerial photos.
Okay. Both parties expressly acknowledge and agree that the Internet is a network of private and public networks and that the Internet is not a secure infrastructure. Neither party has control over the Internet, and neither party is liable for damages under any theory of law related to the discontinuance of operation of any portion of the Internet or possible regulation of the Internet that might restrict or prohibit the operation of services. Basically, we're disclaiming any liability on our part or on their part to the end user. And what we're doing is we're agreeing with them to put it on this community mapping system so the end users can utilize this for their benefit. But we're telling them not to rely without verifying on this information. So we're not liable for it if you rely on it and you're damaged as a result. I think basically we're protected. I really don't have a problem with it. I just never like to see anything but Missouri law on here since we are a governmental entity, a political subdivision of the state of Missouri.
So what you just read, was that the whole agreement?
No, that was the disclaimer portion of the agreement.
Okay.
Danny was asking about liability to third parties.
Well, we depend on you, Bob, as our counsel, needless to say. from the information you have, do we need to hold this up for you to spend more time with it? What you said a few minutes ago was that they're not going to be able to change anything. So my question to you is, do we need to hold this up or not?
I think we just need to change the signature page and get on with it. But if you want me to review it more completely.
What's the agreement then?
Uh-oh.
Sunshine's coming up.
If you have a reason not to participate, that's not my call. ArcGIS Online Community Maps Program Participation Agreement.
You need to remove arbitrary. You need to remove California law, Missouri law, just passed new law on mapping standards put out by the assessor's offices, so they may not even be nowhere close to California law. It just passed. It's waiting for the governor to sign.
We're not saying that it complies with California law. We're just saying if there's litigation, that it will be based upon California law. We have no requirement to meet California law with this content. This content may be garbage, but we're providing it with absolutely no warranties.
Well, that's a little disturbing to me, very disturbing to me. Why, if it has no justification of being there, why let it be there? I would remove it. And if the cities and these villages or whatever don't want our mapping, that's great too.
Okay. I'm fine with removing the California law provision. I don't like it. I will remove it, and if that's what you want, and I will remove the arbitration or leave it in. It's your call. And when I do that, we'll see if they accept it. They may accept it under Missouri law. I'm willing to do that. I don't think there'll be litigation between us and community map program. We're only providing them with information, and they're putting it on their map.
Well, it was a huge issue. It was a huge issue. The Assessors Association fought it. So did MAC. So did the standards of mapping for GIS systems was going to go back to surveyors. You had to be a licensed surveyor to even draw a map to go on there. So this new law that's passed is virtually easing down on that. So I just hate to see us signing contracts where, the county commission might be sued, but then the assessor might be sued by California law, or arbitrary, the RGIS department might be sued. I don't like the reading of the contract whatsoever.
Just a question for our attorney. If the governor hasn't signed it and it doesn't go into effect until August 28th, if we sign this contract now, that statute won't apply. Is that correct?
It doesn't apply now. If it applies later, I'll look at the force majeure provision. Force majeure, neither party shall be responsible for any failure to perform or delay in performing any of its obligations hereunder, where and to the extent that such failure or delay results from causes outside the reasonable control of the respective party. We have absolutely no control over the state legislature. If they change the law and we can no longer perform under this contract, then that fits under force majeure.
Okay. I have a question, Bob. You had commented, I believe, that you were ready to go change the signature page. James has brought this issue up. Have you changed your mind? Do we need to do more work, or are you ready to do it with the change in the signature page?
As far as the form of the contract, I prefer Missouri law, but I don't think it's going to be a major deal between us and that entity, and if they're not willing to accept that, I'm fine with going forward at this point with California law. The downside to that is we'd have to try a case here with someone who knows something about California law if we enter into litigation. And I think we can find an attorney here that is licensed both here in California. I don't think there will be litigation between the two parties. We're kind of in the same position as to the end users who might sue us. And they would sue both of us, I would think. Mm-hmm. If they're going to do that. And we've disclaimed any warranties whatsoever. So while I would rather it say Missouri law, I do not feel uncomfortable with the county entering into this agreement.
Okay, I heard you say I am fine to go forward. Is there anything you need to add to that in a motion?
So let me just try this whole motion thing. I move that we accept the ArcGIS Online Community Maps Program application with changes to the signature page as presented.
Okay. I'll second that. So that's what you just, our motion is that
we sign it as
this agreement after the signature page. And what's the change as far as the signature page?
We need to have in the test, they just have the typical.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the standard thing where Donna has to stamp something.
All right.
You guys have a standard form. I've seen the standard form, so.
Questions or comments? Ready to vote?
Yeah, I've got a question.
Okay.
Gentlemen, I had a situation that pertained to California attorneys, which was a very simple deal that was a contract from a California firm. And I had to go through about six California attorneys to get anything answered on a simple contract for a use of property for a specific purpose. So I'm not comfortable with it at all. I don't care whether it says that nobody's responsible for anything or not. I know that I had to go through a long process just for usage of property. Now, there wasn't anything any more simple because they'd already used it and everything. I got this letter of contract after the work had already been done. So,
well, the disclaimers are disclaimers that read straight out of the UCC and other things. And the UCC, last I checked, was approved by 49 out of the 50 states or something like that, California and Missouri both. So basically the UCC is the same there as it is here. I don't care. I mean, I can do it either way. I can put in Missouri law, which I would prefer, or, you know, I don't think it's going to be a problem. You can go forward the way you're going. I don't feel uncomfortable with arbitration in there. You're not going to end up necessarily having it decided based on the law anyway. I mean, they try to follow the law, but there's no guarantees when you have arbitration. You generally get people that are either lawyers or sometimes they're people from the internet business or the mapping business, and they work as arbitrators, and they're going to apply the standards of the industry more than they are the law, and you don't have appeal rights from arbitration unless certain circumstances exist. So,
James, another comment?
Yeah, I've just always, when I sign a contract and look at it, lesser's better. Lesser's better, and why we have those two statements in there followed up with two pages of denying that we have any liability. Does those two statements knock out the rest of the contract whatsoever? Why would you even need an arbitrator, or why would you need California law if we have disclaimers on everything in the contract? Doesn't make a lick of sense, and we will be sued within 60 days after this.
Well, I don't know that. I haven't heard that. If that's the case, now I'm not comfortable. If he's telling me that there are people waiting to sue on this document, then I'm not comfortable. Sorry, gentlemen.
All right. Now where do we want to go?
You want me to change Missouri law? I'll do it. I did not feel uncomfortable at all with this document until that statement. Of course, okay. I have no idea.
Mr. Strahan, could you come back up here and substantiate your comment, please? It's partly cloudy now, sunshine.
Well, there's been a confirmation of the book made today. We're now signing a contract on our GIS, which will confirm our mapping. That's what we do. Once everything is confirmed, I've heard voices of people today that is waiting. Do you want me to say it? Waiting for the landing project to be mapped, confirmed, and on the internet for lawsuits to be filed. So that's where I'm going with this. Confirmation
is waiting for all these confirmations.
Is our GIS system not available right now?
That's correct.
Okay, it's available under the Sunshine Law too, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So if we provide this information to a private company saying that we're not vouching for the reliability of it in any way, and they use it and manipulate it for their system, and they put it on the internet for their end users, how are we in a different situation than we're already in?
Does anyone, and I understand they don't, understand how liberal California law is? Do they say in California law that all these other statements of non-conformity and all these things that we don't have no liability on? Does California law say, yes, you do?
I'll tell you what. How about you make the motion to approve based upon the change to Missouri law and the signature page, and we'll just be done with it?
Because they won't approve it.
It's a giveaway, isn't it? We're not doing this for money.
May I speak?
Please.
I was, you know, I just brought this forth for an opportunity, so it doesn't mean much difference. I just thought it was an opportunity that the company is offering to smaller entities, so that, I mean, as far as that. So.
It's something we want that's valuable to us as a county. Is that correct?
It is valuable.
Why is it valuable to us? I'm sorry.
Well, the information out there, you can get it anywhere, but I'm looking at the fact that if we provide our information, it's going to be more current than some of the other ones that they're gathering. You know, even though we have our disclaimers and stuff in there, it's still more accurate than some of the other stuff out there that they use, you know, on us. So.
Okay. Other comments?
I'm contemplating adding and changing it to Missouri law, but I don't see the significance of it, actually. I'm going to just leave my motion as it sits.
Okay.
That's what I'm going to do.
Any more discussion? All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Patsy. All right.
Comment administrative?
Yes.
I just wanted to report to the commission that we've been working with the IS department and with the assessor's office in cooperation and to do a complete review of my database. And I want to report that that has been done successfully. We found inconsistencies between the map and our database, as well as tax code. And each office worked very diligently and very cooperatively to resolve all those issues. And we have less than a 1% error rate on our mapping and on our database and on my office. So I just wanted to thank the other two offices publicly and let you know that that's been done.
Okay. Thank you, Donna. All right, Miss Nikki. That was a little visit about the agenda.
Approval. What time was that for?
That's under your session.
Okay. I'll be back.
Don't forget where you work over here now.
I hope I know where I'm going to follow. I try every weekend.
Just a little humor. All right.
I'd like to review this week's agenda.
Yes, ma'am.
Dave Rozelle, who was going to present the MJCCG grant,
yes,
informed me that he was not ready.
Okay.
So it will be placed on later this week.
Sounds good.
I received a call from Susie Braden. And she said that the sewer board voted not to have a pre-meeting anymore.
That's wonderful.
So I'll take that off.
Okay.
Do you see any changes or anything that...
You gentlemen are going to the 12 o'clock meeting tomorrow. I have two appointments already scheduled. I didn't get around to getting, I know I didn't tell the girls about it, so it's my fault that I didn't get those on there, but that's...
With the tomorrow at noon?
Yeah, you guys are planning on that, and then I'll be out of town by 9, so you guys will have the approval of minutes or whatever.
Okay.
I think that's the only thing you got at 9.
Yeah, we may hold off on that anyway.
Yeah.
I would just throw something out. Is that Friday morning? We've got some availability time, so I know we have some various meetings that we're trying to put together and stuff. It looks like on Friday the 4th, up until about 11:30, we've got some time. So if there's any meetings that need to come, need to get posted since today already Wednesday. I mean, today's Tuesday already. I think we're going to be here anyway, it looks like. I don't know if that's for both you guys, but...
I'm open.
Do you have a recommendation on one or something?
No, I just pointed out because, like, tomorrow at 8...
lots of meetings to try and fit into the schedule, right. And sometimes it's difficult to find time.
Like, tomorrow morning, I'm going to a CDAC meeting. I think Chuck may be going to that, too. But we're just basically, we're listening. We're not participating. But so, like, tomorrow's pretty full. But if there's if there's meetings that need to come up, obviously Friday morning after 9 o'clock seems like we have some time up until 11:30-ish.
Sounds good to me.
Just that's all I'm pointing out. I have nothing specific.
Okay. And if you do decide to post something, notify me on that, okay?
Yeah, I mean, I've emailed Nikki some meetings that we've talked about last week that we need to follow up with, so
okay.
She's going to start putting those in there, I'm sure.
All right. So as of right now, the grant and the sewer board pre-meeting are off this agenda. Is that right?
Or is this today? Yes.
Today.
Yeah.
The grant will go out on
Friday.
Okay. Sounds good.
I'll confirm it with Dave Rozelle. I'll call him.
Okay. All right. I guess, anything else, Nikki?
One more thing. As far as the Wellness Center goes, we have an opportunity to have a personal trainer come in and do some different things with individuals that would like to in the aerobic room. Because we don't have a budget in there, she's asking for $5 per person. And it would just go straight to her. It wouldn't go through the county.
Basically, what Nikki came to me, and that's why I had her posted, if a couple people want to get together and have a trainer come in and help them, is it all right if they pay the trainer specifically? You know, obviously, we just need to get the trainer to sign a waiver saying that she won't sue the county if she gets hurt. But I didn't see a problem since the county itself is not participating in the other people that are paying for the help. Mm-hmm. I didn't see a problem with it, but I thought it would be important since money's exchanged hands that the commission talks about it.
I have a little bit, but I don't know, but I'd have to ask Bob if there's some concern about using the county facility to exchange monies that weren't county related.
She's not going to use the facility. We're just giving her permission to be in the facility. I mean, she's instructing.
With our employees. She's instructing.
She's
our
instructing.
Employees.
She's not actually physically working out. She's instructing our employees. I see
where I'm talking about making a resource of funds for, and I may be off base here, but tell me if you think I am. I don't see that they should be using or in our facility making funds that are personal funds for individuals. Do we have any other circumstances like that?
No, I mean, it's one of those talk to Bob, I guess, and sue them.
Well, that's the reason I don't want to talk to Bob and Z, but...
I just wanted to remind you, you had a couple of employees of the county that wanted to use that the lower facility for something, and you determined that they couldn't use that because they would be generating revenue for themselves. I won't say their names unless you ask me to.
I think I know the issue, and it wasn't that they were generating income for themselves. It was a benefit type of thing for someone else, wasn't it?
That was a Halloween.
Well, right. I did it from a liability perspective. That was my perspective. So.
Okay.
Yeah, but we would still have the same thing. I mean, they could have signed a liability waiver just as this person could.
Yep.
You know, Nikki, what I want you to understand that I think that's a trainer on some people down there that don't have any, never used a weight or anything like that. I think that's a good idea, but I still yet, I don't know that having somebody come in the facility and charge somebody else for services while they're using the county equipment.
What kind of equipment's in that room? What kind of?
Nothing.
It's the aerobics class, I guess.
I mean, it's like an aerobics room.
So it's they're not using any equipment, it's just the room that they're using.
They're going in the room and giving instruction on some different moves, aerobic moves.
I just like to
talk about it. I've got some concern also about it. I don't know exactly, but if there's not any equipment, why aren't they doing it in their own place or across the street someplace or... Because it's not handy, I assume.
They're trying to offer something to the employees that use the wellness center.
Again, I kind of think I'm staggering around here, kind of like Danny, as far as why or why not. If someone else comes along, is that a problem that wants to use the room to train?
I mean, I think if our employees are involved, they're not bringing like all these outside things into our facility.
Let me ask Bob about it and just be a little more secure with the decision. If we don't have any other activities where someone's coming in using county facilities and they're charging people to make funds, then...
Well, because, we can't pay them to come in and do a class or anything like that.
Why don't we just hold on until we have some conversation with Bob, and then we'll come back and revisit it.
Chew on it a little bit.
Yeah, let's just do it that way.
Okay.
What else you got, Nick?
That's it.
And you had originally had vacation this week, but you talked that it's not going to happen this week, and you're going
to
post something
this
morning.
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right, we also, you all want to visit about nuisance cases, or we need a break, or?
No.
Okay.
You want to go ahead, or you want to wait till Bob gets down here, because don't you have questions whether he's turned down the paperwork and stuff?
Nope.
Okay.
Not at this point. I visited with our prosecutor, Mr. Merrill, one day last week, whatever it was. We had, and I hesitate to do this because I've slept since then as it goes, but anyway, we had turned over three long-standing cases to him, and I guess we weren't on the same page. I thought if we had a certification of the health department that it was a nuisance, that then he could go ahead and prosecute it. And I'm not going to attempt to explain where he's coming from, but it's not the best situation. And you all could visit with him, or we could invite him in if you want to.
Well, I understood the same thing that you're talking about. I thought our discussion was that if they claimed, if the health department claimed it was a nuisance, then it was our wishes that they prosecute
right
on that behalf, because we were asking for the health department's certification, if you want to call it that.
That was the term, yep.
Yeah, that this is a nuisance. Then it was the commission's, and by vote, I think, I'm sure it was, by vote, that we wanted to prosecute it. And I guess that's left up to his, is that what he's saying? Or?
And again, I hesitate to try to repeat what he was saying, but possibly he, given it more thought, and it going to court, and the situation, anyhow, there's issues. And after visiting for a good little while about it, I figured I would bring it to you. And my suggestion is either we quit the ordinance, give up on it, which I don't want to do, but that's an option, or we see if we can find another attorney that would pursue it on a civil basis like Bob was doing originally.
Okay.
I think that process is too long, Chuck, don't you? I mean, we tried the other way. That's the reason we went to the health department.
I mean, we've battled this for years and nothing works.
Yeah.
Nothing's worked so far. I mean, we've had some success, but it's a battle. I sat in on the city of Forsyth meeting the other day, and they were looking at it. And they asked me, how did we do it? This is not successful, or something to that effect.
It's a mess.
So it is. And,
you know, do you see the city of Springfield? I'm not interrupting you, but where they're battling the same thing. And it was on old buildings and being able to tear them down. And whenever they can't even find out a way to do it there, and they showed some of the pictures, if they're not health hazards, I don't know what is, but.
So, my leaning, my suggestion would be that we go find an attorney to see if there's one out there that is willing and will commit to not pushing it to the back burner to really give it attention.
I'd like to find the attorney and then go ahead and work through what the price would be from the very beginning to the very end, so we understand what a nuisance case is going to cost us.
I don't think we can get that. I think all we can get is an hourly rate, because there is no consistent.
Right.
I mean, I don't think that's reasonable to expect. It just depends how the court, you know.
Right.
One case could. But you we could would take know. Them and you could win, and that was the end of it, or you could keep going for.
Well, I mean, just from a price. I mean, Danny, go ahead.
Look, we have 5 assistant prosecutors, I believe was the number that was counted, maybe 4 or 5. There was 2. I think before we moved into the new building.
Mm-hmm.
Why? I'd like to visit with Jeff about this. Why we can't get one of those people assigned to this and not have the county spending funds that the prosecutor has to go through the prosecuting process anyway after the letters are sent out. I'd like to visit with Jeff about it before we make any decision on it, but just get that to happen as quick as possible.
So you're going to meet with Jeff then? I mean, I think he's going to tell you his workload's full, and I'm sure he's going to prove it to you. I've sat down with Jeff a couple weeks ago, and he was talking about the workload. But I guess what I would say is, why don't you meet with Jeff, and then you want to post it for next week then again, this nuisance, for us to figure that out? At the same time, can we go ahead and at least assign maybe Bob to submit some names to Jillian and Nikki, and they can get some prices together or work on a rate schedule or something?
Well, what I would like to have done would be meet with him as a commission, and then that way when we get an agreement, we we are all on the same page when each of us talk to him and he brings a little bit of something different to the table, or maybe one statement might make a difference. But if he met with us as a commission, then we could say...
So you want to have a meeting with Jeff and the commission?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not in favor of that, because I've got the same sense. I think I heard Jim say that they got a lot. They got too many things going on. And, you know, these are important issues, but in scope to the other things they've got, I don't have the heart to ask him to push it.
Okay. Can I disagree with
sure.
you just a little bit? Why would we go to Jim Berry with the load that they've got and ask them to be involved in it if we didn't want to go ahead and push that? I mean, I would, if we're going to mess with it, I'd like to do it, and if we're not going to mess with it, the other option is what you named earlier, and there's...
Well, let me answer your question if I can, and that is, after the discussion, and listening to Jeff, and I'd be in favor of you going talking to him one-on-one, it's just, it's not an easy thing for them to do, and I just don't feel like it's fair to put him in that spot. I mean, to ask him, we've asked him to, and we thought we had a plan, and it really hasn't played out well. And if you want to ask him again, I'd go for it. I'd be happy for you to.
Well, I'll go talk to him. Do you care if he? If he agrees to have a meeting with the commission, do you care if he comes?
Oh, maybe, sure.
Because I would like a direct answer of how we're going to handle this thing. And because I think we have to head down a different road if we're not going to. And that's what you're proposing this morning, is to get an attorney, outside an attorney, to pursue this. And that's expense to the...
It is. It sure is, and something we ought to weigh pretty seriously. Either way you go, my understanding is whether you go criminally with the prosecutor or civilly with an outside attorney, either way you go, it's just going to take a lot of diligence, and they're all not going to work well. I mean, one of the cases that he has now is at Kirbyville, and it's been a case, I think, since 04.
Which one?
Hardy.
Patsy?
Mm-hmm. I mean, we've written letters. We've had, probably Bob's worked on it. Probably had outside attorneys work on it.
Is that the one Take across it? From the restaurant?
No,
that's
a
different one.
Down MM. And that one that you're talking about, across from the restaurant, it's been going for years.
It gets cleaned up, and then it goes right back.
Somewhat.
Or somewhat cleaned up, and then it goes right back.
This one has been taken care of.
But I'd be all for you visiting with Jeff.
I will talk to him.
You need to hear it for yourself, because I haven't, you know,
shared. I thought we'd come to agreement.
I think we did, and as he's looked at it, thought about it, what it's going to be, the work that it's going to involve him in, need to visit support about it for your benefit.
Mr. Pittle, may I ask you a question?
Yes,
just
ma'am.
So that Nikki and I give the correct information, and if you guys discuss this on my way down, I apologize for taking up time. Whenever somebody comes to us with a new nuisance, we have been directing them to Mr. Berry's office to speak with him. Could you guys please inform us once again, is that correct?
That's what we were doing, but it's come to the office that they're not handling them. I guess they need new direction.
We just don't want to give out wrong information, because that looks bad on the commission. So we just wanted to know how to answer it correctly.
And I was not of the same mind. I mean, it was fine to send them over there, but my feeling was we could go ahead and do it as well, but we haven't been clear to you, so I'm very glad you asked the question. We need to answer that one.
That would
so
be great.
If a new one comes in, do we want
I would like to send them to all to there, because that way the health aspects of the nuisance case gets eliminated right away, because if there's a health concern, they can take it and run with it from their statutory authority. If it's not a health concern, then that's when the decision needs to be going, if we're going to move forward with it or not. Now, that's the thinking that I have toward nuisance cases. Now, the problem is, well, we recently have a situation where the health department says that's not the process. I think we have a regular comes here on Monday mornings who said that wasn't the process that were explained to them. So there, I guess, is the quandary. I mean, I would like to see it go to the health department first, because, once again, if it's a health concern based off their statutory authority, then we don't have to mess with it.
But if we go that route, I don't think I agree, but
okay.
If we go that route, then our staff is going to have to determine, is this a health concern or not? We're going to have to determine whether it is or not.
Not our staff, their staff.
Okay. So you're saying send it to the health department, let them review it, and ask the health department then to send us notice back that they're not going to handle it because it's not a health concern?
Basically,
or
what I would like to see is the citizen contact the health department. Health department then would say, we'll investigate. They come back and say, this is not a health concern. Then that citizen then knows to contact us, and we already know that we're going to have to run with it by ourselves. Otherwise, we'll have to make the determination if that's a health concern. That's why I was trying to eliminate that first.
That first portion. And then I am totally, again, creation of ordinances. I hate it. I hate too much government. But the fact that we have burnout homes that's set for a year in neighborhoods, and then we have the issue with that we had a mold expert come in and talk to us about mold last week. There are professional services, I think, that evaluate the danger to mold. So once a house is sitting there that's been burned out or destroyed in a neighborhood, then I don't know how you address it unless you do say you give them a time frame to get it cleaned up so that it's not a hazard to the rest of the people in the neighborhood.
So I'm hearing you say that you are for having some rules to address that situation.
I don't see how you can keep from it.
Good.
If you want to put me down and put a big check mark by ordinances, creation of ordinances, I am, again, too much government, especially handed down to you that you have no mandates, but I'm talking about ordinances that we create. I'm again those, but this is almost a situation to where you cannot avoid a burn home and weeds and that's the reason I think Jim's idea with the health deal. I think it reaches a point where it's a health hazard to be in the community.
I would probably want to say that we probably need to have first of all, for us to have this conversation with Jerry and say, Jim, this is what we're doing and this is the process, and make sure he's on board with it, because it sounds like either Jim didn't understand what the direction we kind of gave to the staff, and so the staff is sending people there. We just got to make sure the health department's on board with that. What I would say is that we probably need to have a whole work session on who is going to handle it in the county, because it seems like it's not fair for, and I say fair, it's not fair for Chuck to be the only person working the nuisance cases. I mean, he needs someone in the field. It's really going to be back to P&Z, And we just need to talk about through all that whole the whole process, because there's, if we hire an outside, if we go down this whole whole process we've been talking about, if we hire an outside attorney, they're going to need photos, statements, documentation, and I would think P&Z, who's already out in the field, could do that. So it's almost to a point where we could create a whole process. But I think a work session with more time allotted is probably what we need to do.
Yeah.
And soon, so we can get this thing resolved, because the nuisance ordinance, by the way, sunsets in November, and we've got to decide if we're going to renew it anyway.
One thing, and I guess this is in defense of, and maybe he shouldn't have said it, but Chuck admitted that in the meetings that he said that he would personally take care of it.
Now, wait a minute now. What are you quoting me on?
That you told me that you
personally take care of what?
Nuisance. Didn't you tell him at Kirbyville in a meeting that you would take care of the
I don't remember that.
I wasn't
around.
So. No, when you say Kirbyville, you mean the public meeting?
Yeah.
No, sir. That's not what was said at all.
Okay, what did you stated it here in front of the commission? Tell me what you said, because that's what the way I understood it. That's the reason you couldn't get out of.
No, sir. No, that isn't what happened at all. That was when Don Swan, Ron Hirsch, and I were the commission. We went and had the public hearing, one of them at Kirbyville that you're talking about. Through that hearing, we committed that a county commissioner would visit the site. We would not farm it out to planning and zoning or somebody else or hire more people. That one county commissioner would do that. Don Swan and myself worked them. And when Don left, I was the one that was left to work them.
Okay, I owe you an apology, because I didn't understand it that way when you were explaining it before. Maybe you said that just left you to do it, and
no.
That's what I'm.
It was. We committed as a commission that a commissioner would go out to the site, that we wouldn't allow information to be brought to us. We'd see it firsthand.
Okay.
And it was.
Well, I wasn't trying to get you in trouble on it or anything like that. I've worked them, and I've said.
Need help, and we had help. The planning and zoning did do it for a period of time until Keith left. And yes, Mr. Paulson.
You're dealing with a nuisance ordinance, and you've kind of been set back a little bit here recently, and you're going to have to change how they're treated. You're going to have to give direction to staff as to what to tell people when they call in, and you're going to have to decide how and if you're going to take care of these. You're gonna have to come up with some ideas. Are you going to have me try to do them? Are you going to have Jeff try to do them? Are you going to hire private counsel? It's going to cost a bunch of money. I don't think any of you know what you want to do right now.
Well, I do. I mean, I made a suggestion that we get an outside attorney. You were out of the room. Because you don't have time. The prosecutor doesn't have time. That's my opinion, of course. And we either give up or we suck it up and take the guts and continue the job. I mean, we had a lot of the public wanted. You were at the Kirbyville meeting, the public hearing.
Yes, I was.
And it was pretty much an even thing. It seemed to me that there were a lot of people who were against it because they didn't want more ordinances. Nobody wants more government we got to have. There's a ton of people that wanted us to do something. Danny's example of a burned out house. And there's nothing to get that problem fixed. And the people looked to the county government for it. We took it on. And we're going to have to work it or quit it, one of the two. And my leaning is we stay after it. And
well, you should at least check what it's going to cost to have an outside attorney. I mean, you may look at what it's going to cost you and say, we don't want to do this, or maybe you're going to say, we'll go ahead and do this.
And I believe we're already at that point. The county commission votes whether we're going to have you work on it or an outside attorney. And I think each case, we have to look at it. And you've suggested to me that don't take on something that's not flagrant or whatever word you gave me, because we don't want to go through all the trouble of getting to court and then a judge say no. It has to be a severe problem before we go through lawyer time. Now, to use P&Z, which I'm with you on that, I think, Jim, that our P&Z staff at this point, because of building being down, this and that, the other, could help us some on it. Our office is quite busy, I know, so to add more responsible, well, and they're not out in the field. P&Z's out in the field.
Right.
They can go by and take the pictures, and I've asked them to do that some of,
sure,
of recent times, and they've been more than willing to do that. So, but we do have to make a decision.
I know that I received a phone call. That's why I was late coming down. It was a realtor asking for you, Chuck. She stated that she has sold some land, but the only holdup is there's property across from it that is burnt down. And they will not buy unless they know for sure somebody's going to take it and go with it. And so she actually, I put her through to your phone so that you can contact her back. Because to be honest with you, I didn't know how to answer, because before we were sending them to the health department, and I just wanted to talk to you guys first. So, I mean, you have a case like right now waiting even upstairs, a new one.
Yep.
And I took care of part of the problem with the gentleman behind the burned out house. The gray water that was coming out, I sent sewer down to check on that. I think it's been taken care of, but he's still out the gravel cost, which he wouldn't have had to be out, I don't think, had we had sewer do what they've already done. So.
And although I think that is in the ordinance, the sewer, we've got pretty good, we've got good service there.
I deal with it.
If we didn't have a nuisance ordinance, that problem would have been
correct. I deal with the bad septic and that sort of thing already for the sewer department.
So that particular issue would have been solved anyhow without an ordinance. But the burned house.
Do you guys want me to set up a work session?
We're going to have to, yeah.
What do you guys want me to do?
Well, I got to go talk to Jeff first. Let me go talk to Jeff.
Let's talk to Jeff, and then as soon as he gets his answer, Danny, and then I'll set up a work session, because I think there's some details. We've got to go through all of the possible scenarios if we're looking at the outside.
And a couple phone calls as to what the approximate cost might be to hire attorneys. I think you're going to find out it's a lot more than you think it is.
It's probably going to be, yeah. I have an idea in my head, so I'll just...
Just to let you gentlemen know, I know Nikki had told you guys that Mr. Rizal was going to need to reschedule. He actually brought it over to me. They were able to get to it for Mr. Pennell to sign.
Okay.
Just to let you guys know.
We can do that right now?
It's on the agenda. Grant.
Is it pretty fast here, guys? That may be something we...
Have you taken a glance at that, Bob?
I think he said, I just heard him when he came in. He said you guys had already approved it. There was a figure or something that was a typo in there, and he just wants you to sign it. You've already approved it.
Okay. How about a motion to direct the presiding to do that?
Motion to direct the presiding commissioner to sign the MJCCG grant application.
As
presented.
Amended.
Amended.
Or as amended.
Amended presented.
Second. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries.
It's June 1st.
June 1.
Bob, we're getting ready to go to your section, I believe. We're going to have discussions about the newspaper bid process. Is that going to be closed? Is anybody going to be in here? What's your thoughts?
That's up to you, gentlemen, but if I'm going to give you legal advice, I'd perhaps rather do it in an executive session.
Okay.
We can invite anybody in if we need some information.
After we go in.
Yeah.
All right.
I also have before we go in, I have the addendum to the Kirbyville Services and Exclusive Territorial Agreement, which I listed there.
Okay.
We can bring up the engineering contracts if there are any.
So Kirbyville, you've reviewed the addendum. We just need to vote to approve?
Yes. The sewer board has already said, yes, go ahead and get them to approve, and we'll approve it. it's just a change. There was just one small change, if you remember, Kirbyville balked at, anyway, I've got it for your signature.
Okay, how about a motion on the Kirbyville Intergovernmental Agreement?
As amended, as the amended is what it is. Motion to approve the Kirbyville Intergovernmental Agreement as amended. There you go.
Discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries.
And you can have him.
How about Bradleyville Disincorporation? Is that something public?
I'll just tell you.
Okay.
I think I told you last week the check. They did. The lady from the Department of Revenue that mails them their money does it by automatic deposit, actually, for road tax and all that sort of thing. And he had written us, John Combs had, the check for the entire amount. Well, it hadn't been cashed yet, so we didn't get it done in time by May 10th of last month, so the money was going to come anyway. It was going to bounce back to her on the automatic deposit, so she was then going to send a check. Well, I talked to her this week saying it didn't bounce back. I said, oh, I forgot to call you. It hasn't been cashed yet. It'll go in there. I've got to get John Combs to write us a check for what went in there, and then we immediately do the dissolution. But I've talked to Bill. I need to get in touch with John Combs. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So what, any action we have to do on this?
Not today, but we need to post it later this week. We need to have this done. Once we get that check, we need to dissolve.
How about Friday?
And Helen needs to be given a line item or something where she can deposit this money because she's confused where to put the money.
Where would you put it? Can you make that suggestion?
I can talk to Rick and Helen and make a suggestion, but it's not my deal.
Well, I want you to make a recommendation to Rick and Helen before the Friday meeting.
Okay.
If that's all right with you.
All right.
I'm disappointed because this keeps going on and on and on, and I don't know where the
last month
ball should be, but the school, or I know it's not the school, but Bradleyville's looking for this to be resolved, and we keep going on and on. We've still got questions how the money's going to be handled. And
when he came into my office last month with Bill McCullough, I wrote the letter that day to Connie, I can't remember her last name, at the Department of Revenue, telling her that it would be dissolved very quickly hereafter. We don't want the check to come. She called me when she got the letter and told me that it was already too late. Mm-hmm. Nothing I could do, and we need to get this done before June 10th. I called her, talked to her about the whole situation, and then she was going to send a written check, and we could resolve it that way. Well, then I found out that Helen hadn't put it in an account, and we wouldn't have to do that. So it was my intent all along to do this prior to June 10th, and I've advised you of that since about May 12th. So we just need to get it done today. We had to wait for the automatic deposit money to get in there and for Mr. Combs to come in and write a check, and we have to have him come in and write the check, and then we can dissolve it and be done.
Would it be helpful if we ask Rick and Helen to meet with us so that question will be answered?
As far as that's fine. I don't care. I don't care. Whatever line you want to put it in is fine with me. That's not my deal.
Well, if you can at least have that conversation with them, that way when they come Friday, they have an answer for us, and we don't have to delay this decision again.
Okay.
Nikki has posted that meeting for Friday at 9 o'clock. Friday at 9 o'clock is the Bradleyville. Just hit our calendars.
We'll talk with Helen and Rick today.
Okay. What else?
I think we need to go into closed session.
All right, motion to go into executive pursuant 610.021, 22, and 23.
Second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries.